Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
That's right, live in the Laughing Monk studios. Laughing Monk righteously brewed in San Francisco and all of us here at 95.7 The Game. Super pumped to have Laughing Monk along for the ride. If you missed any of our Into the Night conversation with Steve Kerr yesterday, we'll have it for you in full here at 3:15. And spoiler alert, it's very good. And I don't mean that to prop ourselves up. I mean that to prop Steve up.
I don't care.
Well, I do. He's very, very good at talking, and he does that in this conversation.
And if you have questions about Jonathan Kuminga and why or why not, and if or if not, or should not, Steve Kerr does it in a matter-of-fact, non-emotional, analytical way. He breaks down all sides of it, and again, spoiler alert, on a second instance, JK's still working his butt off and he might play.
All true. There was a sorry to laugh. There was a moment in the interview where he said, Jonathan is here working out with the other low minute players.
Yep. Yep.
And I was like, oh, ow.
Ow. That like, really hurt.
Ow.
Ow. Ow.
Yeah,
wow.
Yo.
No, but that's what you do.
But that's, no, look.
Ow.
Thank you.
Ow.
We're all adults. Like, you got to deal with this stuff. You have to deal with this stuff.
And how do you stay sharp if you are a low-minute guy? And by the way,
you work out.
If you don't play in back-to-back games,
spoiler alert, work out.
You are a low-minute guy.
You're a low-minute guy.
If you don't play in back-to-back games.
You're a low-minute guy right now. And, but it made it sound.
Here's Noxie on the right side. Now here's Beekman. Beekman up top. Now it's Spencer. Spencer left side. Kuminga, what are you doing out here?
You ever seen
Beekman? What a throwback.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm talking about the low-minute guys. I mean,
you ever, not a warrior anymore. That was
still,
way, way back.
Is he
there.
Not a low-minute guy?
True. I don't know. Thank I don't you. Even know where he is. Where is he?
Patrick McCall.
He was involved in the Schroeder trade, the original Schroeder trade.
The original one.
So the original Schroeder trade.
He was an undrafted free agent out of Virginia this past year, and then the Warriors traded him to Brooklyn. I don't know if he's still in Brooklyn.
I think he starts there. I haven't.
He's still in Brooklyn, according to his director of sports, Lucas Alexander.
Perfect. Yeah.
Top side, TJD. Left side, Pat McCall.
He's been on their G League team all year.
Okay. Yeah. It kind of made it like, you ever seen Swingers?
Many times.
Right? Okay. Yeah. So like, hey, man, we're going to the high limit room. We're going every, man, boop, 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 double down, slap. Now you're at the $5 table.
Yep.
That's what it made it sound like. It's like, oh, yeah, the low minute guys they go to that table over there.
Two words. Penny slots. Penny slots.
But I love that you brought this up because I would like to propose something to you and to everybody who listens to this show. I would like everybody to listen to what Steve said in what is a four-question journey with regard to the Kuminga situation. And after you've heard it, after we listen to Steve, I would like to attempt, until something else happens, to put it to bed. Because I think that what Steve said yesterday will help. It doesn't mean you're all going to feel great about it or even agree. But I would challenge anyone to listen to what Steve actually says about it and then argue back, I don't understand. No, you may not agree.
Correct. There's a difference.
But you will understand what they're doing. And then, I hope, understand why right now ain't nothing to talk about.
Well, are you trying to give this topic the night-night? Is that what you're trying to do?
I am.
Okay.
Hey, YouTube.
Yeah.
If he comes in...
You could do it like Draymond and do it seven times in a row.
Just to whack myself in the face.
Right in the face!
If he comes into the game, or if the Warriors are down 0-2, or if they try to put him into the game and he goes, you ever heard of Devondre Campbell, Kerr?
Totally.
And leaves the arena.
Catch me in the tunnel.
We're going to have a new conversation.
Right.
Until then, he's at the low limit table. He's not in the plan.
He's not even at the low limit table. He's the dude, and I'm this guy a lot when I go to Vegas. I'm the guy standing behind my friend watching him play.
Do you coach? You coaching?
Nope. I just stand there and I enjoy it. I don't need to be a part necessarily always of the action.
No,
sometimes I like to watch my buddies and I like to watch them either win or lose.
Same.
That's what JK's doing right now.
But if they're losing, I have been known to be like, now would be a good time to get up. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go get a drink. Let's go get a snack.
Yep.
Or let's just change the energy. Let's go to a different table.
I actually did that with my buddy Ron at the craps table. And Ron, I know you're listening down in San Diego. He's on the Odyssey app. He loves the show.
Hello, Ron.
Ron Venti. He was playing craps and
got a Venti right here.
Ventimiglia, 20 miles. But he's playing craps and they were doing great. And then it started to turn and I gave him the tap and I said, hey, might be time to go back to the sports book.
Tap, tap, tappy.
Tappy, tappy, tappy.
Yeah.
Just tap it in.
Dude, I did it with a long ago friend. I'm not even really in touch with this person anymore, but like, it was sad. It was like, you're up so much money and you're giving some of it back. Now you're giving most of it back.
Right.
Now you're giving all of it back.
And?
Now you're giving back your own money. And we got all the way to the end, and my man was just empty pockets.
Yeah.
He turns around and looks at me, and he kind of like, now, no shock here, there was an inebriation sensation that
Cha-ching!
Had taken place.
Let's drink!
And so he wasn't mad at the dealer, but he did one of these like kind of sarcastic, why didn't you stop me? Like, oh, God, why did you turn over all of those bad cards? She looks at him and points at me. Your friend been trying to get you to leave for a half hour.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Where is he?
Jung-Hoo Lee.
Are we ready?
Oh, by the way, since Jung-Hoo Lee's name just came up, can I borrow 3 minutes to ask a question?
It'd be better if you did it in 90 seconds.
Okay, fine. I'll do it
Get out of here.
Actually, I can do the question in less than 30. And this is a genuine question. Is Jung-Hoo Lee tracking toward being the most popular giant? Yes or no?
Since, like,
no, just tournament? right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right? He's like got
that
an
was like 12 seconds.
OPS over.
You're doing great.
What was question one?
Okay.
He's over 1,000 OPS.
He hits homers. He doubles runs like the wind.
He's got people wearing hats in the outfield. Right. You got a Jung-Hoo crew.
He's great. He's five tools.
Jung-Hoo Lee, if he becomes the dude of now for a team that, by the way, looks pretty sparkly, is there any Farhan legacy? And like, I'm just asking a question.
Oh, for sure.
Is there a little bit of, like, let's not put more dirt on Farhan's Giants grave because that was his signature signing.
Right.
That was his signature signing.
That's great. I mean, he gets it. He gets credit.
He gets all the rest, too.
He does. And it's like, and I'm thinking about Patrick Reed in the Masters where he holed out for Eagle and he wound up like top five. And it's like nobody even really noticed because he was so far out of it. But right. Yeah, great shot. And Farhan is not going to be top five in the Masters related to his tenure.
I don't know what he's working on right now.
When you look back at his tenure here, if Jung Woo Lee becomes this player and he signed him, you're damn right he gets credit. He absolutely gets credit.
I hoped you would say that.
What I also,
and I'm not suddenly bringing that name back up so that we can talk about Farhan's idea. No, I've lost that battle 13 times.
For me, the Warriors comp is Mark Jackson. Like we all talk about Steve Kerr and four titles, and we're right to do so. But Mark Jackson deserves more credit than he is given for the foundation that he established.
That's fair. I mean, fair.
Yeah, I mean, he was here for 2 years or maybe 3 years, and they made the playoffs. Yeah. And he established a culture.
And I will say right now that I don't think that they would have become the championship dynasty that they did if Mark had stayed. I don't. Like, I give Steve Kerr that part of the credit. But from a foundational standpoint, as you just said, yes, deserves a piece of the pie. So I just wonder about that. Like, I wonder if now that it's over, and look, the proof is in the pudding. Literally just by the way the Giants look and by the way the Giants have started, yes, Buster Posey being the president of baseball operations is a way, way, way to the way, 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 way better thing than Farhan Zaidi. But I wonder if there's just a little bit of room in everybody's heart as you buy tickets to be a part of the Jung Woo crew or put on funny hats or chant or whatever you do as the Giants get ready for a homestand that starts on Monday, is there any little piece of you that could be like, thanks for that part, Farhan? That was his biggest signing. That was the longest term deal that by far that he offered anybody. And it looks like a pretty rocking deal.
Looks awesome. Yeah. And
what do you think?
Absolutely. And I mean, you could look at the balance sheet and it's easy to skew negative and say there's more misses than hits. But when you're looking at the current team, and if that guy is the face of the franchise and they seem to think that he is and he's living up to it, then yeah, tip of the cap to Mr.
I mean, he looks like, I mean, it's been 20 games and there was a little bit of last year too. Like he didn't look bad last year.
Right.
He looks like a star. Like, he looks like a freaking star.
Yeah, five tools, right?
He does everything, and he doubles, like, every at-bat. His OPS is 1,055. He looks phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. So, food for thought. That's all.
Okay.
All right. We're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. Okay, there are some of you that want to weigh in on the wee little bit of a Kuminga conversation that we just had. I would like to kindly ask you for your patience through Steve Kerr in full coming up next. Listen to what is said, and then we can have a full conversation about it if you'd like. I would like to use that conversation. I'm hoping to put this thing to bed until there is new information or occurrences. That's my hope. Doesn't always go that way. We'll see. But if you want to weigh in on this, you will have your chance. But first, Steve Kerr, conversation from yesterday in full and a very healthy chunk does get into all of the aspects of Jonathan Kuminga. So that's next on Willard and Dibbs.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or a Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. Register today for AFSP's 30th overnight walk in New York City, June 21st, as we walk 16 miles from dusk till dawn to stop suicide. Start your journey today at theovernight.org.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are fantastic. Good? Congratulations. I know after your career, maybe that sounds funny to congratulate you just on making the playoffs, but it feels appropriate this week.
Trust me, I am thrilled, and I will gladly accept your congratulations. So thank you.
Perfect. And you said, you indicated after it became a reality that yesterday was going to be an example of one of your favorite days of the year when you got to just dive into getting ready for a playoff series. So why do you feel that way, and how did it go?
Well, because for 82 games, you basically are an AAU coach. I mean, you're just showing up to the gym and playing games, and obviously I'm exaggerating a little bit, but we just hardly ever have time to actually prepare for an opponent. We play every other day for 5 months, and the players are exhausted from the travel, and you get to the playoffs, it's an entirely different operation, entirely different exercise. You get to put in a lot of practice time, film sessions, game planning. It's just it's so much fun, and it kind of makes the whole regular season worthwhile, and you finally get to really delve into your opponent and put together a game plan.
Deep dive on one team as opposed to, you know, worrying about 3 and 4 nights. So what has today been like, and what's the plan for tomorrow and Saturday and then the lead up to game one on Sunday?
Yeah, so we, the staff met yesterday and then all day today. We just finished a walkthrough and a film session with our players where we presented the game plan, the matchups, everything we're trying to accomplish in this series, you know, against Houston. And the guys were really attentive and excited, and we walked through a few things on the court, but I felt it was really important to give them 2 full days off from any real practice time. And So we didn't practice. Well, our first real practice will be tomorrow. Some of the guys got on the court today and got shots up and, you know, got a workout in. But this has been just a fantastic 2 days, you know, for the staff to prepare and for the players to finally get their feet on the ground. It just feels like the last 3 weeks have been insane, even by NBA standards. I don't think we've been able to rest for about 3 weeks and be in the same city for one time. And so I think our guys are really going to feel rejuvenated.
See, Steve, I find that fascinating because now that it's a reality, now that you don't have to play tomorrow night, I wonder if you can speak a little bit more freely about this, because I certainly felt like if you didn't win Tuesday, a scenario was being set up that was going to be kind of preventative for you guys because of what you just talked about. Like, can you speak now on like how vital was this rest?
Yeah, that game was huge, you know, to beat Memphis and to get this 4 days, I think gives us such a better opportunity to win and advance in the playoffs and make a run. I just feel like, you know, had we lost that game, we were playing tomorrow, you know, maybe won the game and then flown to Oklahoma City. I mean, I was half joking, you know, the other day. I said to my staff, I'm just going to rest our entire starting five for game one. I'm sure I'll get fined by the league, but we are not doing this. I'll just rest and we'll try to beat them 4 out of 6 with 4 days rest or 3 days rest. So it was a daunting, daunting schedule. And that's what made that Memphis game so enormous.
And it kind of came on the back of the Clipper game where you talked about how great you played, and I agree, that was just a high-level NBA game, and you were able to back it up against Memphis. What did you like that you saw against Grizzlies where you had to come back 2 days later in a gut-check spot against a team that was equally hungry?
Well, I just loved how locked in we were with the ball. I think we had 10 or 11 turnovers for the game. You know, it wasn't our best game, but we were dialed in game plan wise. We missed a lot of shots, which is going to happen. But you know, one of the things we preach all season long is you can still win games when you don't make shots if you take care of the details. And I thought for the most part we took care of the details. I thought Memphis played at a really high level, particularly after you know we got up 20. They made a great run and. We were able to gut it out, and that's you know that's kind of what the playoffs are all about.
Steve Kerr with us, Willard and Dibbs. Steve, we know the rules. When you're about to play an opponent, a coach only says wonderful things about the opponent and how dangerous they are, and all those things. And it's not that that's not true, but I do wonder your perspective on what kind of a weapon your team's brains are in this series with so much experience versus a team that's so young.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that way regardless of our opponent. I just think the brain power, the experience, the corporate knowledge, whatever you want to call it, of Steph, Dre, Loon, Jimmy obviously has been, you know, deep in the playoffs, 2 finals trips, carrying his team, his Miami teams there. I feel like we have everything we need to go and win this first round series. We have the talent, we have the experience, but we know how good Houston is. They just came to our place last week and beat us, and so we've got a lot of respect for them, and we know we're gonna have to play well to win.
Speaking of playoff Jimmy, is this kind of what you expected, and are you guys looking to employ a quote-unquote more aggressive Jimmy Butler as you move into the postseason?
We don't employ playoff Jimmy. Playoff Jimmy shows up on his own. And, you know, he reminds me so much of Andre Iguodala from a personality standpoint. He almost doesn't even really want to score. You know, like Andre always loved the nuances of the game. He loved getting other people open. He loved manipulating the defense. I feel the same way about Jimmy. Like he really loves the game and he loves the chess match. But he really, you know, he's much better scorer than Andre, obviously much more capable of getting to the line and taking over a game in that regard. But there's a similar mentality in terms of, I'm just going to do whatever it takes to win tonight. And I'd rather pass the ball to my teammates than shoot. And, so it's really a beautiful mentality, one that, his teammates love because, you know, they love getting his passes for jump shots. And they also love seeing him take over and get to the line 5 straight times down the stretch.
How important is that latter part going up against Houston, and we saw him in the last matchup. They harassed Steph. They held him. They hugged him. They caressed him. How important is it to have Jimmy Butler be playoff Jimmy and be aggressive getting to the basketball, or the basket rather, if Houston's going to guard Steph the same way?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge dynamic for us that's really brand new. I mean, even when we had Kevin Durant, you know, Kevin wasn't a guy who got to the foul line a ton. You know, he was obviously a guy who scored a ton, but it was more, you know, just his incredible, you know, jump shooting and ability to free himself up. But it's a similar dynamic that we had with Kevin in terms of, you know, having two guys who can really take over a game when the defense is at its best. And I think, you know, my experience is, you know, over the years, it's kind of what every championship aspiring team needs. You can't rely on one guy. You can't rely on, you know, offensive execution to get you open with 2 minutes left in game seven of a series. You got to rely on a person. You got to rely on a star, and that's what Jimmy gives us. I thought the other night was a great example of that. He carried us the first three quarters, and Steph carried us the fourth.
Steve Kerr with us every week on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game, and now as we get ready for Game 1 on Sunday between the Rockets and the Warriors as the playoffs begin. Steve, just as an observer and a fan of the Warriors, I will always have some feelings come up when Dillon Brooks and the playoffs happen. What are your feelings?
I've let that stuff go. I mean, you know, in the heat of the moment, you know, a few years ago, when he clotheslined Gary, you know, he was not my favorite guy. You know, that was a cheap shot. You know, I think I said he broke the code. I still feel that way. But I have a lot of respect for Brooks. He's a hell of a player. He's really shooting the ball well. He's at 39% this year. He's their best 3-point shooter. He's put together a really good career. He's a fierce competitor. So I have a lot of respect for him, and you know, it's going to be fun to compete against him.
And he's just one member of a Rocket team that, by my eyes, pretty physical. They're a good defensive team. They're athletic, and they're the top rebounding team in the association. How do you get your team to match their physicality and be able to, you know, keep it not only between the lines, but be able to still play your game while matching them in a physical standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of the challenge is, you know, not only, you know, making sure we are putting every effort into getting every loose ball, every long rebound, you know, hitting bodies, boxing out, but also maintaining our poise and our composure when the game gets physical and when things aren't going our way. And that's, again, that's a big part of playoff basketball every year, but particularly against the more physical teams.
Coach, I know you're fully aware of this. It's an interesting dynamic that has kind of developed. You guys have achieved this, and people are very, very excited about Warrior basketball. At the same time, it has become a very large story and something that our listeners just keep on wanting to know about and keep talking about, and that is the Jonathan Kuminga situation. So what is your perspective? How do you kind of take that this playoff run has happened, yet the Jonathan Kuminga story continues to be kind of bandied about by the fans?
This is all part of the job. I mean, I got no problem with it. Mostly I feel for JK because I like him and he's been here 4 years and he's a talented guy. And, you know, sometimes things go in a different direction. And what happened here is, you know, it's pretty obvious. I've talked about it, but Jimmy Butler came in. And when JK was out, we traded for Jimmy and they play the same position. And our whole team changed. We became an ISO team with Jimmy. You know, the movement of Steph, ISO with Jimmy. And Jimmy's one of the best players in the league. So it's not as simple as just saying, oh, okay, we'll just, you know, we'll play them together. It doesn't, the basketball doesn't work that way. The puzzle has to fit. We found, you know, a really good formula when JK was injured. And we got Jimmy. I think we went 18-2 or something right away. And so we found lineup combinations that have clicked, and we're winning, and we have to stick with that. And it's brutal for JK. It really is. He's a young player who wants to play, and he's absolutely talented enough to play. And he still may be a part of the equation in this series and you know, the next series after that and after that. So we just have to keep plugging away and keep moving forward, and he's doing a good job of that, but I definitely feel for him.
I got to think that this brings out other aspects of you as a coach, right? There, as you said, you get to do X's and O's now, but how do you kind of on the side handle a young player that is going through a frustrating situation?
Well, I think I try to communicate with all my guys constantly, you know, just checking in with different guys and at different times. And then you have to be careful not to overdo it too, you know, and sometimes you have to give a guy space. But we have a great staff. JK has a lot of support, you know, in the locker room. All his teammates like him and coaches like him. And so you just, you know, you just support him and remind him to stay ready, because things can change, you know, in a heartbeat.
And how has he been handling this? Because it's like Mark was saying, it's difficult for a 22-year-old. And, you know, from the outside, we can't really see, and you try to read body language. But I just wonder how JK is reacting and handling it when he finds out that he's probably not going to be in the rotation.
He's handling it well. He's you know, he's coming in. He came in yesterday and scrimmaged, you know, with the low-minute guys who scrimmage routinely. You know, so he's staying ready. He's keeping a positive attitude. And like I said, I'd be surprised if he didn't find his way, you know, back out there. Just from what I know of, you know, my experience with the playoffs, how things work. But again, you know, I have to read what we need. I have to read, you know, who's playing well together. And to be very frank, the Jimmy JK combination has not been great. And that's the tricky part here. And you know, I'm playing Jimmy 40 minutes a night because Jimmy is he's one of the very best players in the league. And there's a reason we're here, and we're in the seventh seed, and we're, you know, we won whatever it was, 24 of our last 30 games. And the reason is Jimmy. And so it's my job as a coach to keep the team on a path that I think gives us the best chance to win. And for now, that's what I've been, you know, that's why I've been leaning into the lineup so that I have.
Yeah, Steve, I think the clarity of that is going to be really helpful to people. There is the comment out there that from matchup to matchup, like, youth and athleticism and length is like something people want to talk about a lot with Houston. And that kind of describes Jonathan. So does this matchup lean maybe a little bit more in his direction?
He's played very well against Houston, for sure. And so that's a positive sign. He has not, you know, it's not been a great combination with Jimmy and Draymond. You know, part of the reason that it's tough to play Jimmy and Draymond is that you need a center with them. Now, maybe the combo is Quentin Post with Jimmy and JK. And so that's a combo that may work, that we may lean into, but obviously, Draymond Green is Draymond Green. He's going to play big minutes as well. And but, you know, when you play against length and athleticism like Houston has, you need spacing. You desperately need to space the floor. Otherwise, you got, you know, five monster athletes sitting in the paint, and it doesn't matter. There's no driving lanes for JK or Jimmy if there's no spacing. And so these are all the nuances that go into this, and you know, it's tough. It's not fantasy basketball. It's not as simple as saying, you know, hey, this guy averages so many points, you just put him out there. The combinations have to fit, the flow has to be right, and these are the things that we have to decipher as a staff.
You mentioned Quentin Post, and he's a rookie, but he's 25, and I can't help but watch him. And Mark and I were joking earlier about the flexing and the gesturing and the facial expressions. Can you remember a rookie who has played with as much just joyful moxie and scowl as Quentin Post when he hits a three?
Yeah, Quentin's been awesome. You know, 25-year-old rookie. He's kind of, old school in that regard. You know, a rookie like 20 years ago, somebody who actually is, you know, ready for the NBA in year one because of, you know, 5 years of college. And he's fearless. You can see how much confidence he has in his shot. He's been the pick and pop big that we've needed for years. And you can see, you know, again, and this probably relates to JK as well. We play Jimmy and Draymond with the second group without Steph, and we have a shooter out there. The whole world opens up for Jimmy, and so that's how he's getting to the rim, and that's how he's getting, you know, getting fouled, and that. So this is what Quentin Post has added to our team, and he's been a godsend.
Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Coach, have you reflected at all for a moment that you, Steph, and Draymond are playing the Rockets again in the playoffs, yet they are a completely new generation of the team, and yet here you three still sit?
I really haven't reflected on those Houston series because, you know, literally every player on the opponent is different. The longevity is something I'm very proud of. The fact that Steph and Dre and Loon and I are all still here, and my staff, so many of my staff members. I think we first met Houston in the 2015 playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, and we've had I think four series since, or you know, three since, four total. That's a pretty incredible stat, you know, in the modern NBA for all of us to still be at it. So I'm very proud of them.
It's funny because you made reference earlier to an AAU team, and all of this Rockets team, they were AAU players when you took on the Rockets back. And they might not have, even been old enough to be AAU players. And I just wonder about, Mark asked you earlier about the experience and, you know, the intelligence that your team has. How much is it going to be a challenge to offset the youth, especially as a series maybe gets longer? Does that give a younger team a certain advantage when they're able to play their way into experience and play deeper into a series?
I don't know. I mean, what I like about the playoffs where we are right now is that you have built-in rest. Unlike the regular season, you have days in between games. Even if it's just one day in between, generally you're staying in that city. There's very few playoff games where you feel like the schedule, you know, is a problem. And the regular season, you face that all the time. And that's where I think the youth and energy of a team like Houston actually is an advantage. I think in the playoffs, I just don't feel like there's an advantage.
All right, Coach. Well, congrats again. And also, Jimmy Butler, I know, said when he's got a nice little break like this, he leans into Domino's and coffee. What do you lean into when you get this little break?
Oh, man. Just being at home with my dog, my wife, cooking dinner, you know, watching a show. These nights off at home in the NBA are golden. I mean, you really do have to just rejuvenate, fill up the cup. And so nothing special for me, just being at home.
Did you do seafood stir fry again?
You know, my daughter cooked for us last night, which was awesome. We went to her house. She lives about a mile from us. And so family time is the key. So she's a great cook. We had a really nice dinner.
Did you get through White Lotus yet, Steve? And if so, what are you on to now?
Yeah, I watched it, finished it up. Totally entertaining. Love that show. And what am I on now? I don't know. We watched a movie the other night, The Brutalist. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it, yeah, it was a long movie. It was two nights. We took two nights to watch.
It wasn't about your playing experience before Tuesday, was it?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
So what's our next show? What should we be watching? What are you guys watching?
Oh, I mean, I'd have to ask the wife. She watches a lot of that, the trash TV. I'm watching you guys, and she's watching The Real Housewives of Fill in the Blank, so...
Yeah,
it's probably
well,
not
on
stuff
the off
you
nights, I guess you're watching other games too, like I am.
Yeah, so. for sure. And Bill Burr has a new comedy special on Hulu that I highly recommend, Steve.
All right, I'll check that out.
Yeah,
thank
check
you.
It out. Yep. For guys our age, right. It's not so bad. Hey, Coach, thanks. Here we go. Playoff basketball. We're excited. Congrats again.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. There it is, Steve Kerr. We want to react to that. Take your calls. We're going to put the Kuminga thing to bed. We're going to try. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Your phone calls next, 888-957-9570 on Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Can we try?
And what?
Can we try?
We can try.
I'm going to try. I just want to try. I know it's a long shot. It's kind of like you when you play the lottery.
Yeah, and I do it all the time.
Yeah, so do I.
And I never win.
Well, I have the weirdest quirk about the lotto.
Yeah.
I won't play if it's less than 100 million.
Right.
As if 58 million is not enough for me.
That's the funniest thing. And not enough. That's human nature. Like, if Super Lotto is 5 million, which I think is where it starts, like, the majority of people will be like, nah, I'm a pass.
That's right.
Even though you get half of it.
Small potatoes.
Even if you get half of the half, because if you win five, then 2.5 is gone right away, and then you got to probably get half of the 2.5, so you get $1.25 million.
I'll take it. I'm in.
Nah, not worth my $1 to try.
Yeah, but then again, they do. It's a bad bet, right? Like, I mean, it's not.
It's a horrific bet,
but whatever. Like,
you'd be better off getting absolutely soaking wet and carrying around a bunch of metal rods and running out into a lightning storm.
Yeah.
You have a better chance of getting struck down than you do of winning the lottery.
Not today, because there's no rain. But, right.
Well, yesterday I was a little worried with my my whole Jesus take about him coming back from behind after a rough first half.
That's you know, right. Steiny and Gouda.
Good Friday.
Good Friday. Steiny and Gouda had a conversation that made me laugh out loud.
We move on. Don't interrupt.
No, I will, because Steiny said something like, what makes it good? And then he asked Gouda the question. He goes, is today when he starts to, is he rising today? And Gouda's like, he's about to. And I'm like, perfect, exactly. So, yes, we're all going to get struck by lightning, and it's... He's about to. Brace yourself. It's coming.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow.
Happy Easter. But I know this isn't going to work, but I still want to try.
Okay.
Okay?
And I'm here for you, and I'm going to support you.
It's fine. Like, it's not going to be some sort of an ego slap if it doesn't work.
Okay.
Then again, there's a piece of this that will 100% work because it's up to us, which is, do we want to simply put this to bed until there is something new on the Jonathan Kuminga front? And I think for the most part here in this back half of the week, we wanted to ask the questions that we asked to Steve, and we did. And if you are just joining us, here's answer number one. When I asked Steve kind of, how are you taking it that you've achieved this and you're winning and you're in the playoffs, but so many people still just want to talk about Jonathan Kuminga?
You know, mostly I feel for JK because I like him and he's been here 4 years and he's a talented guy. And, you know, sometimes things go in a different direction. And what happened here is, you know, it's pretty obvious. I've talked about it, but Jimmy Butler came in. And when JK was out, we traded for Jimmy and they play the same position and our whole team changed. We became an ISO team with Jimmy, you know, the movement of Steph, ISO with Jimmy. And Jimmy's one of the best players in the league. So it's not as simple as just saying, oh, okay, we'll play them together. The basketball doesn't work that way. The puzzle has to fit. We found, you know, a really good formula when JK was injured and we got Jimmy. I think we went 18-2 or something right away. So we found lineup combinations that have clicked and we're winning and we have to stick with that. And it's brutal for JK. It really is. He's a young player who wants to play and he's absolutely talented enough to play. And he still may be a part of the equation in this series and you know, the next series after that. So we just have to keep plugging away and keep moving forward and he's doing a good job of that, but I definitely feel for him.
So there's one more that we want to play, but what I sort of want to propose to everyone is, after listening to what I thought was measured, I thought it was fair, I thought it was descriptive.
Logical.
I thought it was clear. Like, do you accept these answers and then Rockets Warriors? Whoever's in the jerseys that are on the court, let's do Rockets and Warriors starting this weekend. Do you accept these answers? Here's one more, because I did throw at him at the end. A lot of people are making this what feels like a very sort of intuitive A to B. The Rockets are young and bouncy and athletic. So the only way to combat that is, well, you need to have some young and bouncy and athletic. And that's Jonathan. So does this series match up better for him to play? And I thought this is where I sort of came to critical mass on the whole thing. Listen to this.
I have to read what we need. I have to read, you know, who's playing well together. And to be very frank, the Jimmy JK combination has not been great. And that's the tricky part here. And, you know, I'm playing Jimmy 40 minutes a night because Jimmy is one of the very best players in the league. And there's a reason we're here and we're in the seventh seed and we're, you know, we won whatever it was, 24 of our last 30 games. And the reason is Jimmy. And so it's my job as a coach to keep the team on a path that I think gives us the best chance to win. And for now, that's why I've been leaning into the lineup so that I have.
Okay. So I actually do not think, and I know a lot of people do, well, he's going to play in this series. Not to start.
Not necessarily.
Not to start. And if he does, it's going to be just for little bits and pieces. And I guess what I'm getting at is when I listened to him talk that whole thing out late yesterday afternoon, I went, agree or disagree, that makes sense. I get what you're saying. I get what you're doing. And I don't really think that there's no fact that exists that doesn't sort of lean in the favor of what they're doing. There are emotions. There are opinions that can lean in the other direction. I don't think there are any facts. He's got them in his favor. I understand what he's doing. You don't have to love it, but do you accept it? I accept
it.
Well,
you either accept it or you don't, and you just look at what he was describing, and in his subsequent answer, he talked about what combinations might work, and it almost seemed like he was working it through in his own mind, and he talked about a combo of Draymond and Quentin Post and Kuminga and how that might be a trio that could potentially work, but when you think about that trio, you're dealing with about 8 minutes that Jimmy Butler's not going to be playing because Jimmy's playing 40 minutes. And Steve even said that. He's like, I'm going to play Jimmy 40 minutes. And if Jimmy and Kuminga don't do well together, and the analytics would prove that to be true, well, then where is the leash for Jonathan to go in there and play? Because if he and Jimmy don't play well together and Jimmy plays 40 minutes, now you're left with about 8 minutes where Kuminga could possibly play. And then he even said, well, maybe it's Quentin and Draymond and Kuminga. And then you're going to have maybe Stephen Pods or GP2 or whatever, but you're starting to get into a really tight window of where JK could even fit without Jimmy Butler.
When I look at Warrior basketball in the playoffs, here's what I don't buy. I don't buy that you fight fire with fire. I don't buy that. And I think that's
Well, they've never done that.
No, and that's what people are suggesting. You're like, oh, the Rockets are young and bouncy, so this is a Kuminga series. No. No, I'd argue it's even less one, maybe.
Maybe.
Because you know what Jonathan does well? They can do it too, so they can stop it. They're phenomenal on defense. They're big, tall, lanky, bouncy, and young. So Jonathan's going to walk out on the floor, and I know he's played well against Houston. I get it.
Yeah.
Circumstances. Steve even pointed to that. But I don't see this as that. Like, these games are not those games. Those games largely didn't have Steph Curry in them.
Right, right.
So
and they didn't have Jimmy Butler
right,
in them either.
Those games are not these games. So I think what the Warriors do so well is that they don't fight fire with fire. How many years have we been going? I even saw Brian Windhorst just do this today. He was doing a thing where I guess he books hotel rooms at the beginning of the year for June, based on the cities that he thinks are
possible sites
for the NBA Finals. They asked him
veteran.
Yeah, one, he asked him about San Francisco, and he said, not then, and still not quite yet. And the first thing and the only thing he said was, they're just too small. And I went, perfect. Right. Where's Leandro Barbosa? Because it's the exact same thing that they said 3 years ago.
Well, they've always been too small.
They've always been too small. And what do? Do they go, we better fight fire with fire. We better get some tall people.
Right.
No.
They make you get small.
Right.
Steve Martin, let's get small.
Let's do what you don't do well, and let's battle you there. I mean, look, you know who's really tall? Zach Edey. So they made him guard Jimmy Butler. How'd it go?
Yeah, not great for Zach. I mean, he was able to get, I think, 11 offensive rebounds on the other end. And unfortunately for Zach, when he gets a rebound, a lot of times he puts the ball down where everyone can swipe at it. Swipe or no swiping. Shout out Dora the Explorer. But
second reference.
That's what Zach Edey was doing. And I'm just looking at the reality of what has happened this year. JK gets hurt, and the Warriors, over the next 17 games, they go 7-10. Then they acquire Jimmy Butler, and JK is still out, but now you have Jimmy, and you go 12-2 over the next 14 games with JK out, Jimmy in. Before that, you had no Jimmy and no JK, obviously, and you struggled. And then when you've had Jimmy and Jonathan Kuminga together, you have still been as good as you were before Jonathan Kuminga even came back. So you've won when you had Jimmy Butler. The one common denominator in the winning is Jimmy Butler. It's not Jonathan Kuminga.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. And now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.